Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to be connecting with Carrie Knutson, who, by the way, is a premier speaker, but she's also a teacher. She's also a coach. She's so much more than anything that I have time to talk about today. But one of the things that I want all of you to know is she is right out in front when it comes to emotions, when it comes to changing, and when it comes to getting big out loud. Today on her show, Get Big Out Loud, when we talk about living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life, we have to start out with a conversation about 2023. Today, fasten your seatbelt. 2023, you've heard our theme, but now it's a whole new year for you, Carrie, and all of us. Carrie, right? Whole new year, would you say?
Yes, whole new year, whole new you. That's why I put it in the title, because it's 2023 and there's this pressure in January to show up so big. And it's funny that the show's called Get Big Out Loud. You would think that I'd be like, do all your goals, change all your things. But today I want to talk about being a little bit more realistic than jumping into January with a whole new you. But I thought it was interesting because I feel the pressure of that idea. And I wanted to talk about it today. You know, what 2023 looks like for us, the pressures that we feel to change, what that even looks like, and how we can be a little more realistic and a little more loving to ourselves for our goal setting in 2023.
Yeah, especially for those of us that are, you know, out in the world. And I'm speaking to all of you. You know, when I say out in the world, I mean, you're up, you go to your job, you're taking care of your family. See, that's out in the world. It doesn't have to be what Carrie and I are talking about. You don't have to, do a podcast to be, out in the world. You know, sometimes it's just getting yourself to the grocery store. It's just sometimes trying to juggle all the balls. But, you know, a whole new year, a whole new you for a whole new year is what we're talking about. Think about it. A whole new you for a whole new year. Yeah, our TTN theme this year is 2023, a year to be free. 2023, a year to be me. 2023, a year to be the free me. Now, that taps into exactly what you're talking about. Tell me about the pressure you felt when the ball dropped from.
Yes. You know, what are you going to do? What's your resolution? What's your thing? What are your goals? Did you make your vision board? Find your word. Sign up for your goal setting class. Get your new planner. Did you do the thing? And are you ready on January 1st to wake up and take on the world? And honestly, this was even kind of, I'd say, worse for me this year because we were dealing with sickness at our house. I had a surgery on my foot. I couldn't drive. Nothing was the way it was kind of supposed to be since everyone got sick. And the energy wasn't there for that. Even we couldn't get our computer. We have a situation downstairs between a TV and a computer monitor. We kind of like put that together. We're like, oh my gosh, can we even watch the ball drop? So so it was just, but my idea for this podcast today was like, the pressure is on for a lot of us. And people are also capitalizing on that pressure. Like, sign up for this thing, do this thing, be the change, go do this stuff now. And I often think, do it January or do it never. And that's when you have to think to yourself a little more realistically, hey, society, maybe January is not my month, or maybe January 1st, not quite there yet. Or maybe what I really want to talk about today too is like, do you need to change everything? Like sometimes this idea of you're not enough, you should always be changing, you something is wrong with you, you have to be striving. Sometimes the idea, like you just said, sometimes going to the store taking care of your family, getting through your day, like it's enough. And sometimes I feel like if we cultivate this idea of like, what if I'm enough in this moment, can actually help us to make changes that are more realistic to who we are, mm-hmm. and come from a place of love, not from lack, and also come from a place of self-exploration, not what society thinks. Because you right now, the diet industry is ramped up to help you. The gyms are ready to take your money for memberships. The courses on the goal setting are ready for that. And that's not bad. But do you know how many people will do a gym membership in January and not make it to February?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. And by the way, I have to tell you one of the most incredible apps out there that I have found, which does this very caringly and nurturingly. And, you know, many of you are not interested in this, but I've been watching Noom, N-O-O-M, that app. Well, it's more than an app. But the only reason I'm talking about them is because they do something very nurturing. Now, for somebody like me that gets 100 emails an hour, for me to even be talking about something that came in my inbox, you have to know it got my attention, right? And it got my attention because they're appealing to the soft spot in all of us that really wants to be nurtured now. And I think that's what you're talking about. So, you know, when you and I are talking here today, you know, we're talking about a whole new you. 5 days into the year, it was, and I realized that one of the things that I'm changing already isn't my goal list, isn't my vision list. Of course, I looked at that over the weekend. But I realized when I'm talking to people and staff and clients, I have to communicate in more detail. Now, people may think, wait a minute, seriously, what's a big deal about that? But let's talk about it for a minute, because the pressure keg erupts when we don't take the time or we don't have the patience to either listen or speak in a way that we can be heard. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the whole idea of nurturing yourself, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up in this show about, like, how do we get quiet enough with ourselves to even know what we want to work on for us? Again, there's a lot of societal pressure. There's a lot of push to the lose weight, save money, take a trip, spend more time with your family, do whatever. Like, there's 20 things that everyone's supposed to be doing all the time right now. And sometimes you have to say to yourself, like, if I was really nurturing myself, would I put all this pressure on myself to change tomorrow? If I was really nurturing myself, would I stop looking for what's wrong with me and start looking for what's right with me? And would I come from a place of what's right with me first and then take opportunities to say, yes, society may say this, but then what's right for me? And also what's right for me right now? Like I remember this was a few New Year's ago. I remember this idea of like, I was so busy between two jobs and my kids were smaller. And I thought like, oh, I should take this certain class right now because it's offered. And I should try to lose weight right now too. So I'll sign up for this thing. And I'll also volunteer because I should do that. And I took on these three, and I failed so miserably. And the crazy thing was, if I looked back on it, I thought, weren't you already doing enough? Like, why did you pile on those other things? And then you failed. And then the feeling of failure was so hard to climb out of, right? But if I was coming from a nurturing place of I'm enough, what I do is enough, then there's the opportunity for you to say to yourself, what matters for me right now? And in January, you know what? This January is not the time of a radical change. Just my bar right now is getting everyone healthy, right? Recovering from my foot and being able to walk upstairs again and do laundry again and make smaller, more realistic goals around my health and my family for where I am now. And that's again from a nurturing place. So you may be in a place in January ready for growth, ready for change. And that's fantastic. If it's what I'm encouraging people are thinking about to do is from a place of love for yourself and from a place of enoughness and not to collect these goals as like trophies. Look what I'm doing. Look how busy I am. Look what I'm achieving. Because our achievement-based culture is like, what are you achieving? What's your worth based on what you've done? Did you get all your things on your to-do list done? Okay, then you're worthy. And what I want to speak to is the idea, what if you're worthy right now? Yeah. What if you're enough? in this moment, would there be a different place of growth for you if you took your eye off the achievement of society and took your eye on like enoughness for yourself and goals that have meaning and purpose for you? Not only that, but at the time and place in your life where you have some chance of success.
Yeah. I love what you just said. Here's why. There are three things. One, 2023 is different, and I'll tell you how. It reminded me a little bit of the year, I don't know which year it was, but it was the year after the complete economic breakdown of Wall Street. I don't know what else to say. You know, the just complete just crash in 09 or 10, or I don't remember the year. And then we come out of there, and there was a year, I don't remember if it was 11. I want to say it was. What happened with people is that for a number of people, they felt a new sense of hope. For the rest of them that were impacted by that, they didn't see a way out. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about this, a whole new you, I get a sense from folks that there is a whole new excitement for one thing and one thing only. I believe that people now feel, forget about the astrology charts. They all say how amazing this is going to be. But I believe what people now feel and may believe is that 2023 might be the year where they could trust a little stability.
Oh, yes. And there's right? so much hope. There's so much hope wrapped up in that. And you, that is so beautiful to speak to, because I'm thinking about for myself, the last two New Years, when I went to bed, I'm like, make it go away. When I wake up, the new year will magically things will be back. And I really, the part of me really wanted January 1st to be like, okay, we got to the finish line. We tagged, you know, when you tag the thing, you're like, I'm free. I really did have that same feeling of, and then when it wasn't, it was very depressing, of course, and overwhelming. And you've hit the nail on the head. This is the year that people can hope a little more for stability. They can see it, they can taste it. Even though things are changing, we feel like we can have some expectation around mm-hmm. like, I don't even know when it was funny because I had to go to the doctor's office and I thought, oh, I don't have a mask. Where are my masks? Like, where are they? Like, and they used to be in the car, in the front, everywhere. And I thought, oh, I have to get one at the doctor's office now. And I thought that's a shift to not be, you know, like just these small changes. But I do think the new year does, especially for this year, have more hope than it's had in a long time. And to capitalize on that is fantastic. And to honestly look at yourself and be like, I need this. I need a little hope. I need a little opportunity for stability. I need the chance to dream past just tomorrow. I think that's all beautiful. And I think capitalizing on that hope is really important for a lot of people right now, because we want to feel something. We want to feel like we can go forward and kind of take a collective breath in terms of like, I can maybe expect, maybe I have some, like you said, some stability this year in my expectations. And that's another reason it can be feel great to dream and scheme and grow, because you're not in crisis all the time. And that you speak beautifully to that.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about, because now this kicks it up for us now, because, you know, what I used to love? Let's take a short break. You know what I used to love? I can't remember his name, but there was a point by which there was an actor, and, you know, he was on a famous hit TV show, right? Top paid. And he took a tumble. I mean, he had the worst of the worst publicly. And then they couldn't find him. And the only thing they saw was he would come out of his door and the press would be there. And they'd say, how are you doing? And all he would say is winning. He'd give him a thumbs up, winning. That term winning became such a powerful one-word statement for a person, a man, high-profile actor, that was taking accountability for his life. And that was his mindset, winning. It wasn't, if I win, I will do this. It was, I'm winning. That's what it is. That is a mindset. Now, when we come back from break, Carrie Knudsen is going to talk. We're going to talk about this. What does it mean to embody that in your life, even if you are this guy who is trying to get himself up from the worst of the worst, what we like to say, bottoms, addiction, alcohol, high celebrity, high paid. Out of his mouth is not an excuse. Out of his mouth is nothing. It's one word, winning. When we come back, are you able to say that word for yourself? Like right where you are? Are you able to declare winning? Are you able to do it? Is it hard for you to say? I know saying I love myself is hard, but how about saying winning? When we come back, what's the difference between winning and waiting to win? Kerry Knutson joining us here today. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to Get Big Out Loud. Kerry Knutson, this is her show. Kerry Knutson, here's what I want to say. You know, you hear her talk about so many things, but I want you to know two things. One, she walks the talk. But the other thing is these things she incorporates in her fabulous, you know, pivotal coaching platform. The other thing is that the decisions that I've watched her make to get out in the world, which she is now, those are bold, and we have to be looking at bold decisions. Maybe it's not for you to get out speaking, but maybe it's just for some of you, especially some that I've talked to, just getting out of the house. Kerry, before we talk about winning, how can we find out more about you? Tell us about your coach. Tell us what you're up to.
Yes. Okay. So you can find more about me at knutsonspeaks.com. It's K-N-U-T-S-O-N speaks.com. And I'm doing what I'm so excited about is in my work, I'm training, which I'm running a big training events, and I'm doing consulting with people around their companies and growth. And I'm doing workshops and I'm doing presentations and the coaching that I'm doing, small group and individual. It's all based on getting big, living your best life, thinking about how we can use psychology to shift how we think and how we then behave and act. And all of that work is so exciting to me because every group I meet with is another opportunity to help people. The whole idea is, how can we make your lives better realistically? How can we use the ideas in psychology to transform relationships, to improve communication, to help ourselves, how we think, and then how we show up in the world? So that's the kind of work I'm doing. And I'm also excited to say I have a one-woman storytelling show, and I just figured out the date. It's going to be March 19th in Denver. And it's going to be at the Clock Tower Cabaret. And it's a show, it's a storytelling show called Ain't Never Met a Stranger. And it's all about our journey as humans through life and our connections. And it's humor. And it's just a fun night out. So there'll be more information on my website about the show coming up in March. So I'm excited for that.
Congratulations. Because, you know, look, I want to talk about winning. People ask me over and over again, like, what did you do through COVID? I get a lot of COVID questions now. And then there are people that don't even want to talk about COVID, but that's not the point. The questions I get are, and I ask, why are you just asking me about COVID? Let's talk about the rest of my life. You know, let's talk about what does it take to go beyond resilience? I said, I think resilience is great, but it doesn't really talk about winning in life. And I love the word winning in life. And the reason I love the word winning in life is you could define it. You know, for me, when I was in the streets of New York City, getting a hot dog was winning. On that day, being able to find a hot dog in a dumpster, I consider that winning. That was winning. But let's talk about the difference between winning and having to win, right? Oh, one of them says you're in the mindset and zone. The other one says you're missing something and you're waiting for it. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point. Winning right now or winning in the future, like waiting to win. And this idea too that I want to talk about is, I feel like people are always looking to the future. Like, when this happens, I'll be happy. When this happens, I'll be successful. When this happens, I'll be beautiful. When this happens, I'll feel a certain way. And all the things we say are in the future. They're always, and then what I find is that people have their goals and ambitions to go towards those things, which isn't necessarily bad, but what happens is they're elusive. So we're going to those things and going to those things, and then we never really arrive. The marker moves, and you say, well, I'm still not, I haven't done this thing yet. So that still mean I can't be happy or successful or beautiful or whatever. And it's the future. It's elusive. And we chase it. And you never ask yourself, well, do I get to be successful in this moment? Do I get to be proud of myself now? Do I get to be happy? Or like for me, God forbid, do I get to be beautiful? Like I always think about this idea of like, when I lose weight, then I'll be beautiful. And it's been a lifelong journey of like, when do I get to call myself beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it the number on the scale that determines that? And then even if I got to the number, would I then feel beautiful? Because it's the feeling. Also the idea of success. When this happens, I'll be successful. Most people think when I get this job, when I get this much money in the bank, when this thing happens. And we look to the thing to give us the feeling, which is interesting because a lot of times when people achieve the thing, the feelings kind of either is there for a moment and then dissipates, or they don't feel like they thought they would feel. And so they grab the prize and then they're like, how come I don't feel different? And the problem is we haven't started to feel the way we want to feel in this moment. What if I get to be successful today? And then I capitalize on that feeling to move me forward. What if I get to feel beautiful, happy, loved, deserving, worthy, all the things we're looking for in this mm-hmm. moment. And that's to speak to your point. What if you get to win right now? And if you stop comparing yourself to everyone else and say, well, that's winning. How can I be winning? A lot of times there's this beautiful quote, one tends not to see what they've done. One tends to see what has left to be undone. It's a quote by Marie Curie that I can't articulate exactly right now, but the idea is, we tend to see what we haven't done versus what we have done. And that idea sometimes of just saying to yourself, where am I right now? Let me take a little look back and see how far I've come, or see what winning is to me. When the bar is more realistic, more of us get to win in this moment. And you don't put off winning to a future moment that is elusive and you may not get to anyway. That's where hope disappears. That's where motivation gets, you know, where does that go? And that's also when a lot of us are walking around feeling like because we haven't made it yet, that we've failed. And it's hard to come from a place of failure. It's hard to climb out of that, you know, failure hole and then try to be motivated instead of being like, what if you're doing okay? What if you're doing the best you can with what you have where you are? That's another great quote that I love. What if you are, your success is your the journey that you're on, not to be compared with other people's journey, because something can mean something for you. I have a quick little story about this, but I made $40 at my first ever gig. And I thought,
I know, me too.
I went to the bank because I'm like, this is how I'm opening my business account with this $50. And literally, I drove to the bank. I skipped in. I'm like, hello. And I gave the guy my account number. I'm like, this is my business account. I'm like, is it show business account? Does it say Knutson Speaks on there? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, shove the check. Like it was worth, I could have been like a $3 million check. Cause I'm like sliding it over the counter. And I'm like, can I see you put it in? Can I see the receipt? And he's like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, let me see on your screen. Where does it say you deposited the $40? He's like, right here. And then he gives me the receipt. But that $40, it wasn't the $40. It was the feeling of I'm living my dream now. Somebody paid me to speak. I'm opening my account with it. It was the joy, the sheer joy. And someone could have easily said $40. It's easy to look at the thing of $40. Is that even anything? But me starting my business, getting paid to speak, the feeling of achievement, acknowledgement, hope, happiness of making it, right? And so that I always think back to that first $40 that started my entire business as the most joyful check I've ever cashed because of the feeling that came with it. And that was the feeling of winning in that moment for me, because the symbol was the check, the amount was what it was, but the feeling was there. And I could appreciate that moment, not saying, oh, I haven't made any money yet. I only made $40. And I encourage people to think about, you all have something in your lives that meant something to you that to another person would be like, what? What's that? But you know, you loved it. You know, it was that moment. You know, you were proud, excited, happy, hopeful, whatever it was, you knew you had that thing for you.
Yeah. And I want to talk about this when we come back from break, because what you're talking about is so seriously important. I have to laugh because I did the same thing. It was like my sole proprietorship, which I was in the consulting field, nothing even related to what I'm doing now. But it was a really small amount. I don't know if it was $40, but I had the same excitement. I was like, you know, back in the day when we used checks, right, to deposit, it was like you had your little check and it was written out to you and you took your check to the bank and there was really nothing in there except the amount of money that you opened the account with. Like, I don't even remember, like it had to be $25 or something to open up the account. And you went back in there. But, you know, one of the things I love about that and where we are now, what we're going to talk about next is this. When we talk about a whole new you, here is me. People ask me, what's on your top 10? I said, I can't even think of 10, but I have a top three as you go into this year to look at closely for yourself. The most deadliest thing that I have found within myself, which I don't do very much anymore, is comparison. And we're going to talk about comparison when we get back. I get asked the questions a lot, and I love that question about what if you win? My friends, we did an exercise on what if you win the lottery? So my answer was, in a group of I don't know how many people, create a better world. And my friend looked at me and said, wait a minute, you're doing that now. Isn't that what you do now? Isn't that like part of what your theme is now? Isn't that like something about the talk thing you do? Isn't that like create a better world? I said, yeah. So you're just going to do more of it. I said, exactly.
But isn't that funny? Because I was like, don't you do that now? I do that now. If I won the lottery, I might do more of it. But you're right. And you're winning right now. You're winning. But it's sometimes it takes outside people to tell us the thing that we're thinking of, because again, it's that not enough, haven't achieved it, could do more, keep going bigger. And that again isn't inherently bad, but sometimes it keeps us from recognizing where we are, what
That's
we have.
Right. Right.
And come from that place of what if I'm winning now?
Exactly.
What if this is winning, actually?
I love this because, you know, what I said to her, look, I mean, the conversation went on because everybody was like, seriously, of course it's you saying that. It's like, one of my friends said, well, you know, it's like when you watch some of these contests and, you know, they ask them, what do you want? They say world peace. They said, that's you, Pat. I said, okay, but I didn't say world peace. I said, but here's the thing I love about this. This is, I would do more of it and I would do it easier. And I would have more resources to do it. But what's really the question? The question is, what's in your heart? When we come back, we're going to talk about what's in your heart. And we're going to talk about what casts the shadow over your heart. And I'm going to tell you the number one thing, back to what I answered, is the number one thing that will cut your dream off faster than you can imagine is when you pause to compare whatever it is you're doing to another person, another place, another thing, albeit living or dead. When you compare yourself to somebody that lived before you and you try to measure yourself up, or you compare yourself to the Joneses, whoever they are, when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you fully embody whole new you that is you. Not you in comparison to Sharon Stone. Let's take a short break, everybody.
Is that because you look like Sharon Stone with your hair?
I don't know if I do. Let's take a
Sharon Stone break, okay?
Let's take a Sharon Stone break, everybody. I love, okay, let me answer your question before break. Sharon Stone's coming up for me because there are a lot of things that Sharon Stone has done in contributing to helping others that people don't know about. You know, beyond a phenomenal movie that nobody ever forgot, Basic Instinct, beyond that, her role and her support across the board of others has been pivotal. And we don't talk about that enough. But whether it's Sharon Stone, or to be more contemporary, as I'm often reminded to be, Selena Gomez, it doesn't matter. Do you know that you're enough? When we come back, whole new you is enough. We're going to talk about that and what the downside and upside of comparison is. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knutson. We'll be right back.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have you, Carrie Knutson, here, the fabulous show, Get Big Out Loud. Carrie, one more time, would you give out your website for people and let them know how they can work with you as a coach?
Sure. So it's www.knutsonspeaks.com, and that's K-N-U-T-S-O-N, speaks. And when people come to me for coaching, a lot of times people, like, I don't know quite what I'm searching for. I need some help around how I show up at work, how I communicate with people, how I am internalizing my belief system and how that shows up in my leadership skills or lack of leadership skills. So I love working with people on different ways for how they want to show up in the world and how they want to be their best selves. And so I do a lot of coaching with individuals. And then I started doing group coaching for organizations that have a team or group of people working in a similar field that, like, hey, we want to work on this together. And that's been really gratifying as well. So you can just reach out to me and say, Knutson, this is what I'm interested in. And we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I like that. That's when they say, Basili. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Okay. I want to talk about comparison for a minute because it's what I call the death trap of dreams. Yes. Comparison is the death trap of dreams. That's a pretty good quote, isn't it? But the reason I want to talk about it is I've never compared myself or the network to any other network. We've never done it. We're coming up on 20 years from my show. I've never done it. I don't know what that's about. There have been points in time where I've had to look because you have to stay on top of the industry. But you know, and I know, when you start comparing yourself to another, especially as it relates to you launching your dream, your life, your idea, you know, you compare yourself. Maybe you compare your kids. Maybe you compare your dog. It's like, my dog's not pretty enough. Whatever that step is, it literally deflates and negates self-confidence and self-worth. What do you think about the idea of whole new you and this thing we do in comparison?
Yeah, that's the keeps us from growing in the way we're supposed to grow. And there's a quote that I always use is, comparison is a thief of joy. But I change it to, comparison is a thief. It's a thief of your own experience. It's a thief of where you are in life. It's a thief of everything. And when I think about comparison too, I think when I love to garden and I love when flowers come up, you would never say, hey, flower, you didn't come up at the same time as this one, or your petals are different. We love every flower because it's like so unique and interesting, but it's on its own journey, right? So this idea of comparing ourselves, we would never do that in nature, but yet we do it to ourselves. And when we compare, you always lose. There's very few times when we say, oh, you know what? I am doing better than that guy. Like, we usually pick comparisons, and it's just the way our mind works to be like, oh, I'm not enough. See, that person did more. And then we use it again as a way to keep it. It deflates hope. It deflates opportunity. And it keeps you from really being able to show up to your own journey and your own experience in the way that you see it, in your perspective, in the way that it works for you. And that's, again, sometimes people can look at something and see achievement and be like, that's all you did. But to you, it could be a major achievement, right? And I'm going to tell a quick story about a comparison that I think shed some light on this. So we were driving to a friend's house one day that my daughter had never seen this house before. And she was 6 when this happened. And Claire and I were driving to my friend's house, and we pulled up, and this house is huge compared to our house, right? And so, but we were turning up the corner, going up the drive, and Claire looks at me and she goes, Mom, are we poor? She took one look at the house. And I just see this as a house that I've gone to, you know, that's my friend's house, but her seeing it, she goes, and she just looked at me, Mom, are we poor? And I was like, well, honey, because this house is huge, right? And she knows we were going swimming at this house. And this house has a 3-car garage and a turret and a gate around it. I mean, like, it's a big house. And I had to giggle a little bit. I'm like, well, this house is bigger than ours. This house looks different than ours. This house costs more money than ours. But I don't think it makes us poor. But I said, to some people, we're poor for sure, right? And to some people, we're rich beyond measure. So it's hard. And she said, but then she didn't care about my big, you know, my like thoughtful response to that. She's like, when we have a pool, then we'll be rich. I'm going to be rich. And she gets out of the car because she's going to the pool. She goes, but that's what she said to me. When we have a pool, then we'll be rich. I'm going to go be rich. And it, what made me laugh so much about that was the idea of the feeling, when I get the pool, then I'll be rich. When we have a pool, then we'll be rich. And she's six, right? So that idea of, once I get this, then I'll feel this. And it's the feeling. The pool is the thing. The feeling is we'll be rich. And it kind of made me giggle because when I think about my house, my 1921 house, it's a Tudor style, two bedroom, two bathroom. It's cozy. It's little. It's just fits me. It fits our family. I love this house. And I keep thinking, for some other people, they'll be like, that's a starter home. That only two bedrooms? Like, your kids are still in bunk beds? What does that mean? I could see the judgment thing and the comparison. Like, I haven't made it unless I live in this neighborhood or have this car or have a pool or have the trappings. And then when you ask yourself, for me, I don't actually want those trappings. But I also don't want to judge people who do, because that's when we get also into not only comparison, but judgment. Those two things really limit us on both sides. First, if you compare yourself, you're pretty much always going to lose. But then if you get judgy, what happens is, must be nice that I can't have what you have. And that you start to judge. So what if to someone having a big old house with a turret and a pool is their dream, and they have worked for it, and they want, and they love every minute of it, and they appreciate it. And it's, they that's their thing. That's their symbol for them. That's like my $40 deposit. They're getting a house with a pool means something to them. Right. And it's me going, must be nice, because the rest of us don't have pools. What does that do in the world? All it does is take it us down. And then someone could look at me and say, must be nice, when you're doing your thing. So comparison on one side, judgment on the other, both of those hem us in. And when we can look at our own lives, like the choices we make to spend money on things, some people would say that's you spending money on a ticket to travel. Must be nice. The rest of us are working. Must be nice. You like to go to that restaurant. Must be nice. You want to take that exercise class. Must be nice. We want to sign up for something or be the player, whatever it is you want to do. The judgment can keep you so limited, because then you're worried, what will people say? Is this enough? And then the comparison comes in. And do you see how that's very limiting?
Yeah.
So those two things on either side keep us trapped.
Good. I want to talk about it then. Here's what we're going to talk about, because what you nailed it. If there's a message for people when you look at the whole new you as you walk forward, is to really look at the whole new you. You know, let's just talk about how it shows up in our world for a minute, if we could. Where does comparison show up? Right now, what we're having, and we've never had this more prominent, and it's really mostly because we are so connected digitally, but there's never been a greater comparison to people of different ages. See, right now, there's such an ageism. And the good news and the bad news, the good news is that you watch, especially in with women, you see them breaking the boundaries of this. You know, I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was Jane Fonda. I can't remember. You know, 80 is the new 50, 70 is the new 40. It used to be 50 was the new 40. Now it's not. Because what is the statement that's being made? Don't judge me. Don't compare me. Don't look at me compared to somebody else. But here's the thing I love. If there was a takeaway in 2022 for me, it was that I'm the slowest runner on the planet. I'm a great softball player, a great shortstop, but oh my God, you know, they pray when I hit the ball that I hit it so far out that I can make it to first and second when I was younger. That's why I do so well in my sport. But here's the point. The point is this, when you look at the athletes, the high point was the world championships held in Oregon this year. I love track and field. I just love watching it. And what the overriding theme was that I walked away with, these are people that compete against other people. But the overriding theme was almost all of them wanted to break their own records. You see that energy? And they did, and they broke world records, and there was an unprecedented United States winning at the track and field world. But the theme was, I don't need to beat Joe. that was those were the, it was, I am here to beat my record. And there was one track and field individual in particular who broke his own record and said, I'm going to break my record again. Mm-hmm. You see, that is not a comparison, but in a sport where you are compared,
sure,
there can be a goal where you're in the world and you want to be the best version of yourself. I'd like you to talk to that.
Yes, that's so beautiful, because the idea of, like, again, a whole new you, a whole new thing. Like, part of it is like, am I enough in this moment, first of all? And then to become that person that I want to be, can I do it from love? Can I do it from besting myself, my own efforts? Can I tweak things and shift things that work for me? And can I be proud of myself on the journey? Can I be proud of what I'm doing and look at the journey, not even the goal as the thing, but like, am I growing? Am I shifting? Am I being open to things? Am I being better to myself than I was before? And is this goal matter to me? Why? Okay, then there's motivation around that. But there's also has to be self-acceptance, love, generosity, and the idea of I'm competing only in my, I'm making up things. Like, we are meaning-making machines. What matters to you and what matters to me are all, we make meaning out of it through cultural history and our family dynamics. Like, people say, this is important, do this thing. But really, we're all kind of, like, you're like, I've never played table tennis in my life, but your life, there's a defining part of your life that is right. That defines part of your life. And for me, music was a defined part of my life, and other people that, like, that doesn't mean anything to them. Right. And so when you think about your becoming your best self, right, and what it means to be a whole new you, the idea isn't like sometimes like, if you don't need a whole new you, what if you need to tweak the you that you've got and then keep working on it to in a way that is congruent with your value system, in a way that feels good to you, in a way that doesn't compare or judge, in a way that says, I'm just looking to beat my own time. I'm just looking to increase my own situation. I'm on my own journey. And I think when we can do that from a place of love, there's actually a lot more motivation, because it's reasonable. It's not like this pie in the sky. And then most of us set ourselves up to fail because we have this pie in the sky ideas. We're going to work really hard. And then what happens when motivation goes out the door? You know, then we can't do it. What happens when we get criticized? Then we get off our rocker. What happens when the timeline isn't what we'd hoped for and a life intervenes and sends you somewhere else? And then you're like, well, I guess I can't do this now. All or nothing. I did it or I didn't. I can make it or I can't. And sometimes it's like, what if we got smaller? What if we focused on, like, how can I direct this in a way that's more realistic? And how am I already winning? Right? That makes me feel like, oh, I can try this now, or I can do this. How do I have the confidence to try new things? It's because I believe in myself, not because you gave it to me or someone else did, because I want to try to beat my own thing or change my life. And I want to speak to this real quick too, the idea of, like, changing my life. Sometimes when you say that, you think, well, what about my life? Do you really need a whole big change? Or are there some things when you think about, like, would you want to change your whole life, really? Like, part of us, I think, have this allure of that. But again, coming into a space where, like, what if the changes I want to make to my life will improve my life, but I don't need to change my whole life? Like, there's not something so wrong that it needs to be changed. What if the changes I want to make to what I'm doing, what I'm eating, how I'm thinking about myself, my sleep habits, what my behaviors are that aren't serving me. What if we focus more on that than, like, everything about me needs to be changed? And that's why I think it's a no-win game, because by February, you're exhausted and you're back to your old patterns anyway, because it's too much.
I'll talk about something that changed the landscape of a sport that I never thought would be affected. I didn't. Now, I'm not going to talk about your Denver team, although I could. Jessica's a big Denver.
I have to say, you know this.
It's not about the game.
But I just have to say to everyone listening, I don't know anything about sports.
That's good.
I'm having a rough season, but that you have to take this one, Dr. Pat, because I don't know anything.
Well, it's not even about the sports, because something happened on Monday Night Football that I've never seen before in the sport of football. And my heart goes out to the family, the teammates, the prayers, the people that covered Monday Night Football. Thank you for your integrity. when Damar Hamlin made his tackle, this young man stood up and then fell to the ground. And I want to talk about this for a minute because it really ties into what Carrie just said. There are things in life that are really important. 8 hours ago, as of the recording of this, and all week long, people prayed for this football player. I have never seen this in the sport, and my hat goes off to all of you. When Damar hit the ground, people knew this was not from a tackle. They knew it was urgent. I have never seen people come off that bench, trainers. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen players literally stop a game and said, no, we are not continuing. And people came, and right on the football field, never seen before, was administered CPR. Now we now know how he's doing. But then what happened afterwards is what Carrie was saying today. The game of football will be forever be changed in my eyes. I watch grown men cry on the field. I watch them, no one, not the channels and the $1 million that people wanted to talk about. Nobody cared about one of the most important games for those two teams of the season. The emphasis went from competition to caring. That's what we're talking about here today when we're looking at you all and when we're talking caring. And all of you know that have watched this, and people that don't watch the game, even Linda has been following this story because it was about a young man who many people didn't know, but the action of many and millions, the prayers that went for this young man, and the fact that he was able to move his hand 3 days ago. And the fact that he's breathing on his own today, and the prayers from his parents. See, this is what we're talking about. Whether you know who Damar is, Damar Hamlin, whether you know who he is, whether you saw it, if those of us who watch football, we saw this happening, whether you saw that or you didn't see it, you saw a sport do something unprecedented. You saw the stations covering it. Stop talking about football and talking about the care and the love of this young man. That's what we're talking about. When you can put aside all of the shiny objects in your life and understand that when you step out a whole new year and a whole new you, there is so much more than your paycheck, what others think of you. And the question is, what do you want to live for, Karen? What do you want to live for? Do you see what I mean? See, you don't have to know football to understand the impact of that. You just have to know that in a sport where people say, no crying, everybody was crying. What do you think of that?
I love that you just told me that. And I heard of this story, and the way you said it is so compelling. Competition versus caring. What would it like to show up in a world where you got to feel cared for whatever journey you're on and whatever place you're on? Like, and what if we replace the judgment with caring? And also, what if we did take time out to stop and be more realistic? Like in that moment, you're like, time stopped. People were realistic to what was happening, and also let their emotions show. Like, we care about people. We care about each other. And the whole thing about games and like that game, you know, there are $1 million in advertisements and like the people there and the tickets and the whatever. And then we tend to think about money's on the line, right? And then what we do for money, what we do for fame, what we do because we're supposed to be a certain way in life, and then what it means to be successful. Like all those things tie in to, again, the fact of not enough, still working at it, always trying. And the idea of like, what would caring bring to a situation like that? And I love competition versus caring. And I also love, what if we cared for ourselves and others? And so when you think about like caring for yourself on the journey and realizing that, but I love the idea of also extending that to others, because sometimes when people are on their own journey of change and growth, your words to them, your treatment of them, how you either decide to push through things or stop. I remember, I'm thinking about too, like sometimes when people come to talk to me, they'll start off on one level and they might bring up something and then they'll like, but that's not really important, or that's not that big of a deal. And the thing they're trying to override is the big deal, is the thing when they felt, or they try to be like, well, it wasn't that big a deal when I got that bad feedback. And like, well, how did that make you feel? Like, let's talk about how the feelings like, but people tend to like kind of need that space sometimes from you to be like, tell me your story. Let me hear what mattered to you. Where are you in your journey? How can I support you? And sometimes we can look around to our community, to our friends, our family, or even strangers and think about, am I caring for you right now? Or am I judging you right now? Am I helping you on your journey? Or am I putting up blockades for that? And how am I making you feel when you interact with me? Hopeful, like you can do it, like you're on your own journey. And I see this a lot with speakers sometimes. So we'll be at an event and I'll get off the stage and someone will be like, how am I supposed to follow that? And like, because you're you and you're supposed to go out there and I want you to rock the stage. I don't want to be the best speaker at an event. I want all, the world needs better speakers and you should be one of them. So anytime we do that, and it's funny that it happens in the speaker world a lot, where we're always looking at the other speaker, like, do I have those visuals? Do I have that thing? How much did they laugh? Was I on my time? And the people will say like, now how am I supposed to follow that? You already put in your brain, like, I'm not enough. Instead of I'm me doing me in this moment, and I have a unique value proposition to give, and I'm not supposed to be you. I'm supposed to be me. So let me rock my stage my way. And I see that a lot in people, and you can just take that and put it in life. All of us are, I mean, we're all on our stage, we're all doing our thing. And when we look around, we're like, how am I supposed to follow that? Even thinking about you, Dr. Pat, when I first saw your podcast, I'm like, how am I supposed to podcast like Dr. Pat? And the point is, I'm not supposed to podcast like Dr. Pat. I'm supposed to podcast like Carrie Knutson. And Carrie Knutson and Dr. Pat together create something amazing. But I had to show up in my own space without the shadow of that comparison. Like, who am I to even be on this station with someone like you? Like, and then the question I say to ask people, because I ask that to myself, the real question, that's a horrible question. Who am I? The real question is, who are you not to? Who are you not to? And that's when you can show up from a place of, I've got me, and maybe all I've got me today is this, but it's enough in this moment.
I love this. And that brings us full circle, because I love the conversation on this and going back to what the topic of the show is today. It's a whole new year. Yes, it means things for different things for different people. I know for us, it's a sense of freedom and feeling free, free to be you, free to be me. You know, this is like when we're sending out messages now, we're saying to people, your voice needs to be heard, you know, but that's our energy. That's the way we feel as a collective here on the Transformation Network, Transformation Talk Radio. And it's not that we've been silenced before, but yeah, we have kind of. And that is of our own doing in a sense, and yet in a sense not. And so now as we move forward, let's ask this question. There are things to ponder. There are messages that you set the example for. You talked about it last year. You said, I'm making a career change. I'm doing this. I'm going out on my own. I'm boldly into the night. Whatever the Star Trek version of that is, that's what you're saying. And we're seeing different things across the board. You know, we're seeing changes across the board. But I would love to know, you and I will have many conversations, but this one is so very important. My mom used to say, you got to get up on the right foot. I said, well, I start with my left foot. My mom used to say, that's not what I meant. But I do walk. I do start with my left foot because I play a sport where my left foot is always first.
Sure.
Right. I mean, your stance in this sport, your left foot has got to be first if you're right-handed. But that's not the point. So what's the closing message for us today? What do we want to leave people with? Because you and I have one thing in common around this topic. We do want people to have the best version of who they are show up in a stress-free, optimistic, blissed out way, don't we?
Yes, we do. And we want that for everyone, because the world moves forward when you show up as your best self. The world moves forward when you share your gift. The world moves forward when you're not under a cloud of comparison and judgment that keeps you from sharing your gifts with the world in the way only you can share them. Doing the things that matter to you in a way that means something in this world. And that's the whole idea of, now January's here, we're all collectively taking a moment to be like, what do we want for the new year? And again, that's powerful. And using, I think what my message to close this with is, instead of taking that as a a call to like change everything tomorrow. You're not enough. It's like, hey, opportunity to reflect. See where you're at. Do you need some tweaks? What are you interested in? Where are you at? Is January your month to start? Or maybe is some random Tuesday in February going to be your moment, right? Like there's still time for you. And that's the message. There's always time. You can wake up in any moment. You could even be in the middle of your lunch break and think, okay, I'm ready to make a change. It doesn't matter. The start date of January isn't the thing. It's the feeling that you have of like, I am ready for whatever's next. And I'm going to step into my journey with some consciousness and with a lot of love for who I am and where I've been. I am going to look back instead of always looking forward and being like, I'm not there yet. Look back and like, oh, I've come pretty far. And you're going to go on your journey from a place of love, hope, connection, gratitude. And you're going to do the small things that you could do with consistency that would get you to the bigger goals in life. And you're going to celebrate them along the way because you know your journey is yours. And for all those checks I've cashed since that $40, you know, the check I remember most, the $40, right? And you're going to go back to those moments and you're going to look, that's what I mean, look back in order to look forward and take in those things about you. That's like, I don't need to change everything, but I can look to this new year and be like, how do I want to show up to this year? How do I want to be in this moment? And again, criticism, comparison, judgment, you can look at those things and be like, okay, one of my goals for this year is to let those go aside. And so I can step in to who I'm supposed to be in the way I was meant to be, free, loved, cared for, and enough. You're enough in this moment, and use that to push you to the next moment from being enough, not from lack, but from love.
I love that we're sharing this story. You know, I barely graduated high school. I could hardly read and write. I'm learning different. One doctor said I'm on a spectrum. I didn't even know what he meant, but you know, I honestly thought at the time he did that, I thought, oh, color. I like color. He wasn't talking about color. I now know. But whether it's somebody categorizes you or not, the thing that I still have to this day, because of how not smart I used to think I was and how not smart people told me I was from a very young age, was the first training that Bell Labs AT&T sent me on at age 18 years old. And I got a little certificate. Now, do I think that made me a better person or a smarter person? No. It became a guidepost to tell me and a symbol for all the things people said I wasn't. I demonstrated to myself I could be. That's what you're talking about today.
I demonstrated to myself that I could be. And from there, you can make progress, right? Because you can hold on to that symbol. The symbol created a feeling. The symbol of the certificate said, the feeling is I am not as dumb as I thought I was. I have more to offer. I have things. Somebody thought I was, right? And then you hold on to that and you go on your journey. Because the thing is, you don't give up and you don't stop. But the idea of like that symbol creates a feeling. And sometimes what do you hook on to? What's the symbol for you? What's the thing? Is it your vision board? Is it your word? Is it your class that you took? Is it an achievement that you made? Is it getting your pool? Is that the thing you need? Whatever the thing is, it's the thing that creates the feeling. And we have to look at those things without, it could be small or big, but the idea is we're looking more at how we want to feel rather than what we have achieved, because that is the outcome. And the feeling is the journey, and you're on your journey. And maybe that certificate allowed you to take one more step on the journey with some confidence and with some pride in yourself, but you did it from a place of love, not lack.
I love it. Carrie Knutson. Carrie, thank you so much for today. What an important show. You're going to hear more from her. Thank you so much. Final words. What do you want to leave us with?
I want to say happy new year, everyone. Happy 2023 and happy journey as you journey on. I look forward to future conversations. In February, we'll keep the same energy up, and in March and in April and May and wherever you are in your journey, I hope you look a little bit behind you and gather stock. So as you move forward into this new year, you can do it with lots of love and lots of hope and lots of caring.
That's it. We'll see you next time, everybody. Happy new year. Happy new you.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.